All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. How's everybody doing tonight? That was really weak. Let's go ahead and stand as we open up in prayer tonight. It's like, it's Wednesday. How do you expect we're doing? If you're online tonight, thank you for joining us. We're excited that you're with us. As we open up in prayer, a couple things. How many have a need tonight? You'll just signify by lifting your hand. Listen, there's still a lot of need. I got called out early this morning with the Sheriff's Department on a call, a deceased individual. Let's pray for that family. It really was totally unexpected. Went to bed last night doing just fine, and then when they got up early this morning, the person had died in their sleep. And so let's lift that family up. And then also, right before we came in, I got a phone call from one of the ladies here, has a very special need. Unspoken request is all I'm going to say. It's pertaining to her family and just really needs an intervention. And, you know, when you start hearing, you know, everywhere you turn, there's just more stories and more stories of just the heaviness of living in this sin-sick world that we live in. And I'm just glad that we have an anchor, and I'm glad that we have a strong tower and a place of refuge. And so as we pray, that's what we want to do, is we want to recognize that we do have that strong tower that we can run to and are safe. And so let's just pray. Father, tonight we are grateful, again, for the privilege of prayer. We're grateful to be able to come together and study your word. And Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, just that freedom to do that. And Lord, as we open up tonight, Lord, those that are here and those that are online, Lord, all of us are needy. We're needy people. We don't have to go very far to find human need. Just look in the mirror, Lord, because we all have things that concern us, things that are pressing to us. And Lord, I just pray that tonight that you would just intervene in all of these situations. I pray for this family that has lost this loved one, and just in a very tragic situation, a sudden situation. Lord, I pray that you would surround them, and that through this, Lord, again, only you can do something that can impact them in a very positive way. And I just pray, God, that you would just send forth the Holy Spirit to be that comforter. I pray for this family that just a few moments ago called with a crisis. Lord, we just lift them up to you. Lord, you know what's going on. And Lord, we just ask you to get involved. And everyone here tonight, Lord, you know our down city and our uprising. Lord, you know everything that's happening right now. I pray for those that need a healing touch. I pray for those that need some encouragement. I pray, Father, for those that need direction and guidance. Lord, you said that, Lord, there's never a time or a place that we can be that you're not already there. And I just release that to you right now. I pray for those that need a financial miracle. Lord, we just pray for all the ministries that are on campus tonight, Lord, that you would be exalted in everything. And I pray, Father, for revival. I pray revival in our country. Lord, we need you in the worst kind of way. And I pray from border to border, from coast to coast, Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit in an unprecedented way, Lord, as we call out to you. And I just pray you'll be with us in our time of study. Open our hearts and let us hear what the Spirit says to us. We commit this to you now in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. May be seated tonight. Let's go ahead and get into our word tonight. We're continuing on with our series, The Secret Place. And so Romans chapter 8, I know I just finished up a series on Romans, or those few chapters, but we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8. And tonight we'll be talking about our intercessor. While you're turning there, just a couple of announcements. Don't forget Sunday is our Mission Sunday, and looking forward to that. It's always been one of my favorite days, even though we're not doing it quite as elaborate as we have done it in the past. It's still one of those days. Listen, God calls all of us. He calls to each of us. Some people go, and some people send. And both are important, because Romans 10 says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach if they've not been sent? And so that's part of what missions is all about. There are some that are goers, and there are some that are senders, and so we're going to do that so we can support our missionaries. And then also, don't forget, coming up on October the 3rd, which is Sunday week, is our first ever Fall Family Fun Day. And help us get the word out. This, normally we would do, most of you would remember, we do in September, we always do the Back to Church Sunday. And we always have a big day. We do an illustrated sermon. Again, just wonderful day. Again, just with everything going on, we decided not to do that this year. But we wanted to do something. And so I'm just saying, use this as an opportunity to invite someone that maybe you've not seen in a while. Or maybe use it as an opportunity to invite someone who doesn't attend church somewhere. What we're going to do is, again, wear your favorite jersey if you want. Feel free to do that. Right after the 10:45 service, we're going to have a food truck set up out in the parking lot out by the barn, by the pavilion, and we're going to have horseshoes and cornhole toss and pitching contest and bounce houses for the kids and just a fun day. So the food trucks, we have a Mexican truck, we have a barbecue truck, and then we have one that's going to do two things. So I count them as four. They'll do hamburgers, hot dogs, and then they'll have dessert. So you know where I'll be to the dessert. So anyway, that's coming up, and I'm looking forward to that. So help us out. Anyway, let's get right into our word this evening. Again, Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 26 and 27, and we're talking about our intercessor. Okay, so Paul, again, writing verses 26 and 27, which we studied this a few weeks back. But anyway, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us." Notice this. "With groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints," listen, "according to the will of God." How does he make intercession? "According to the will of God." May the Lord add his blessing to his word tonight. Now, again, I only have like maybe one more or two more lessons in this. It was a short series, nothing like the Romans that took us 4 months or almost 4 months to do. But again, last Wednesday, we looked at how prayer plays a part in evangelism. Remember, every one of us should have a hit list. We should have a hit list. We should have a list of people that we know are lost. And again, that's not making judgment. You know, you can't judge me. Well, no, that's not making judgment. If you're saved, you're going to have the evidence, right? And if you don't have the evidence, then there's probably a good chance that you're not a believer. So we should have a hit list of people that we know, particularly loved ones, our family, immediate family or acquaintances. If they're not saved, write their names down and every day pray for them. Pray. Remember, how do we pray for an unsaved loved one? We pray that God will open the eyes of their understanding so that they might know his truth. Because unless they know the truth of God, you can tell them about the plan of salvation. You can give them the Romans road. You can do all of that stuff, but it's spiritually discerned and they're spiritually dead. They're not going to understand it. So we pray, God, open the eyes of their understanding and let them hear your truth or see your truth. Then we're able to share. So prayer plays an important role in evangelism. And again, I'm just going to say it. I've said it every time, but this series is not intended to make anyone feel guilty about our prayer life, because how many of us know that our prayer life could always be ramped up a little bit? I think all of us. The reality is we could all pray more. But this is not about making people feel guilty. This series, what I'm hoping is that this series helps lay a foundation of how prayer impacts our journey, how prayer really makes a difference in our journey. Praying is important, and even if we don't necessarily know all that we need to know, we know enough to get started. Again, when you start talking about spiritual disciplines, the first thing that happens is we start feeling guilty because I don't read my Bible enough, I don't pray enough, and what I mean by that is I don't spend enough time. So we get it in our minds that we've got to spend an hour reading the Bible, an hour praying. How many of you don't have 2 hours to give? I mean, life is really, really hectic, and so what happens is we start taking on guilt. Because I can't read my Bible that long, and I can't pray that long, and I can't witness that long, and on and on and on it goes. Well, here's the thing. Start where you are. Start with what you do have. You may not have an hour. Maybe you have 5 minutes. And then last week we talked about, you know, take a scripture. You know, just take one scripture, write it down, your scripture of the day. You know, there are apps that you can get on your phone, your computer, do a scripture of the day, post that sucker somewhere where you can see it every time. And just throughout the day, just meditate on that scripture. Just do what you can. Start where you are. Now, in saying all of that, most every one of us here knows what it's like to go through tough times. I think we're all familiar with the struggles. And I don't know, I'm sure you're like me, but oftentimes when you find yourself in the midst of struggle, how many of you find it hard to pray in those times? Again, I know that's we should run to prayer, but our nature being what it is, when we are hurting, that's probably the last thing that we do. We struggle so much to pray when we're going through the trials and tribulations of life. There are times when we don't, and part of that is there are times, particularly those times that we struggle, but there are times when we don't know how to pray. We just don't know how to pray because the place we're in is beyond our coping mechanisms or our coping abilities, and so we just don't know what to do. We struggle. For me, when Sheila got sick 12 years ago, when she had her stroke, it really what helped me and helped her was the prayers of my church family. That's what helped us. That's what sustained us, because the reality is I was not coping very well. You know, I tried, but I wasn't coping. I'd cry out at times in desperation, but the reality is there was no meaningful prayer during that time. I struggled tremendously. My brain, I'm trying to sort out what has happened. I don't know why. I can't figure it out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're just going through it. The thing is, I couldn't think how to pray, which is kind of odd because that's what I do all. I pray for that family that had that loved one pass away last night. I'm out there in the street praying for them, you know. So But when it happened to me, I'm struggling. I don't know how to pray. My experience has been like this, that the more the need means to you, the harder it is to pray for it. In other words, it hits pretty close. You know, if I'm praying for Tracy down here, then it's okay. I can pray for him because it doesn't really necessarily affect me, but I can pray for him. But when it hits home, it's a whole lot more difficult to really hunker down and pray. And again, I think the reason we can pray so easily for others is that we're not so deeply invested in them. And I'm not meaning that there's no relationship. I'm just saying we're not as deeply invested as we are with our immediate family and loved ones. It's reality. The reality is it's easier to pray for someone that we don't know than it is to really get down to the nitty-gritty and pray for the ones that we do know as we walk through the situation. We aren't affected by their battle, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? I don't know if that's your experience, but that's my experience, is I find it very easy to pray for somebody, but when my family's hurting, and I do pray. I pray all the time for my wife. I believe that God could heal, but in the midst of that crisis, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray. You know, it just like my words were just, again, everything in my brain was just swirling around, and I couldn't, you know, it's like you couldn't make heads or tails, and it was a real struggle. You know, it's much different when you try to pray for those that are closest to you. And again, when Sheila was sick, it was a different story. And I think the more you care, the harder it is to pray in those times of crisis. When it comes to those things in life that really matter, our husband, our wife, our children, our loved ones, those things are very hard to pray for because they're so close to your heart. You got all those emotions, and it's really hard in a crisis moment to try to calm those emotions so that you can pray. So having said that, that's the reason that our text is so important tonight. I know we talked about it when I was doing the Romans series, but it's worthwhile to go back and visit, because this text deals with exactly what I'm talking about. Because there are times that we go through things that we absolutely don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. We try to pray, the words are not formed in our mouth. We can't spit those words out because we're just emotionally distraught. We know those times. And so Paul assures us, and I want you to understand this, Paul assures us that when we can't pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. When we can't pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. When we can't find the words, the Holy Spirit speaks to the Father with what Paul said, with groans that cannot be put into words. And that's important to understand, because there are times when we just wail before the Lord, and you see somebody, and sometimes we think people are not all there because they're just bawling or wailing. That's the Spirit of God praying with words that can't be uttered, can't be spoken. You know, there's a place where we go through times where that's all we can do is just call out to God. You know, when we're not, and another thing about that is when we're not sure how to pray, the Bible says, Paul said that the Holy Spirit prays according to God's will. And that's an important distinction there. He prays according to God's will. And again, this is a wonderful promise because as we go through life, again, there are simply many situations that you and I are going to encounter that we just don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. And in those moments, we can be assured that the Holy Spirit is praying for us. So let's unpack this a little bit. Let's talk about, number one, our weaknesses. Notice what Paul said in verse number 26. In the same way, he says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Now, the word helps is a wonderful word. Again, you got in the Greek, these words often have these, they're very picturesque. In other words, what they mean, you can visualize. So what this word means in the Greek is it pictures someone that is bent over with a heavy burden, with a heavy load. It's like they've taken on, they're carrying, I don't know, sacks of cement or whatever, and they're bent, they're hunched over, and they're trying to carry that stuff. So the word helps means that someone comes along to that one bent over with the weight and helps them, takes load off of them so that now they can stand up and erect and walk. That's what the word helps means. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We get stooped over by the cares of life, by the concerns, by the things that happen to us, and we stoop down. We get bent over with the weight of the world, but yet the Holy Spirit comes along, as what Paul said, and he helps us. He takes the load off of us so that we can stand up. That's a powerful thing to think about. Think of that imagery. You know, he continually comes to us, and he helps us with our heavy load. You know, so we need the Spirit's help because why? Because we're weak. Paul said in the same way, he helps us in our weaknesses. Our weaknesses. The word weakness is interesting. It's the same word that James uses for sickness. Same word. James, in James chapter 5, verse 14. It refers to those moments in life when we are physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted. How many's ever been there? Where you have spent and you're done. You're totally spent out. That's what he's talking about. When you get to those places, okay, because of our weaknesses, because we've given until we can't give anymore, because we've served until we can't serve anymore, we just exhausted ourselves. Circumstances have combined to push us over the edge, and this is the kind of the picture that he's trying to draw for us. Weakness is our condition here on earth. We're weak and we're frail. We're inherently weak, and the reality is we're unable to help ourselves. You know, the sooner we learn this, the better off we're going to be, that there are just some things in life. We're just weak people, okay? Not physical. I'm talking about we're just weak people, and we need his help. We need his help. You know, some people realize this truth, and it benefits them, while many people, you look at people struggling today, it's because they're trying to muscle through what they need to be casting off. Does that make sense? We're trying to muscle through what God wants us to cast off on him. Remember, he said, cast our burdens on him because he cares for us. But if we don't do that, we carry them and we're weighted down. We're stooped down with those things. Paul said, again, notice what he said, we do not know how to pray. We don't know what we ought to pray for. Again, have you ever been in that spot where you didn't know what to say? You couldn't articulate what was going on in your life. Literally, this means that we don't have a clue. Isn't that good of the Bible? We don't have a clue. And again, I think this is one of the chief problems of prayers. How many times have we tried to pray and we didn't know how to ask? We didn't know what to ask from the Lord. We didn't know how to speak to the Lord about that situation. Again, it's a struggle. This happens oftentimes when we're again, faced with a crisis regarding someone that's close to us. It's very hard. And the second thing, we don't know what's best for us. We don't know what's best for us. We may think we want a new job, right? Because we can't stand the boss. So what do? We get a new job, and guess what? We get a boss that's 10 times worse than the old boss. right? You know, maybe on a different level. You're married, and married people dream of being single again. Or single people wish they were married. But when you are, you discover that you exchange one set of problems for another set of problems. Again, we don't know. We don't really know what we want. You know, we say we do, but we really don't, and so it goes. And so we don't know what to pray for because our vision, here's the thing, our vision is very limited. I can only see right now. I can only see my desires right now. I can't see the long term. That's why we have to be very careful about making hasty decisions. Doesn't the Bible warn us about making hasty choices, hasty decisions? It's important. You know, we only see a tiny fraction of the universe, and if we're not careful, we can, even that small fraction is inevitably tainted by our selfishness. We filter everything by how it's going to benefit us. And so we pray according to those selfish desires. So how can we be sure that we pray for what God wants for us? Well, think about this. Ecclesiastes 6:12, here's what it says. For who knows what is good for a man in life? During the few and meaningless days, he passes through like a shadow. That's a good one, right? Who knows? Who knows what's good for a man in life during those few moments when we're passing through? James said we're like a vapor that's here and then boom, gone. Who knows what he wants? Who knows what's good for him? Well, the answer is we don't know what's good for us. Again, I may want a new job because I don't like my old boss, but I get the new job, my boss is worse than the one I had before, and then I'm miserable again. I don't know what I need, you know. How many of you can remember when your parents were, when you were small growing up, your parents said, now eat your vegetables, eat your broccoli, it's good for you. You know, you weren't quite sure. Now, you know, how many of you eat things that you didn't eat as a kid? Yeah. Yeah, you learn to like it, you know. Dr. James Boyce, who was the Presbyterian pastor, the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. He had pastored this church for over 30 years. It was the same church where Donald Gray Barnhouse had ministered, and he had been diagnosed with cancer, okay? So he gets up on a Sunday, makes a brief announcement to his congregation about the severity of his illness and about the treatment regimen that he was going to go on into. And during that revelation, just telling people what was going on with him physically, he also addressed how he thought they should be praying. And here's what he said. He said, should we pray for a miracle? He says, not necessarily. He said, there's no doubt that God can work miracles. But the God who works miracles could have prevented cancer in the very first place. So here's what he does. He asked for prayer for the doctors that they might have wisdom in pursuing the right course of treatment. Then he spoke about the goodness of God, that even his cancer is for his own good in the long run. Now, I mean, you think about the faith of this guy. So he's telling them, I've got cancer. I don't know what's going to happen. Here's what I'm going to do. You know, God could have prevented it, but we're going to pray for the doctors that they know the course of treatment. And even for that matter, this is good. It's going to be for my good in the long run. He also recognized that, humanly speaking, his life was measured in weeks, not months and years. And it's, when you read that, it's very difficult to hear that because we've been taught, have faith in God. Pray for this. And we do that and believe that. But I love his perspective because he's deferring and saying, you know what, but who knows what God wants? Who knows the mind of the Spirit? Who knows the mind of the Father? Who prays according to his will? See, Dr. Boyce did not know what God wanted to do through that sudden attack of cancer. Maybe he would heal him here, maybe he would heal him there. But of that, he was convinced, absolutely. So, my point being is this. Most of the time, listen, rarely can we be absolutely sure what God wants to do in a particular situation. It's in our weaknesses that the Spirit prays. Again, Father, I don't know. Our prayer should be, Father, I don't know what you want to do in this situation, but I know you truly know best, and I'm going to defer to you. So Paul says, in our weaknesses, where we're not able to pray, we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to pray for, it's when the Holy Spirit prays to God. So let's look at the second part of that, the Spirit's help. So we talk about our weaknesses. There are times in life where we are weak, we're incapable of praying, we don't know how to pray. That's when the Holy Spirit prays for us. By the way, He did pass away in 2000, so it's been 21 years ago, but he did pass away, and he was ultimately healed. But look again at verse number 26. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, again, we need the help of the Holy Spirit because we need him to pray for us because we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. So Paul says that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that cannot be expressed in words. In other words, wordless groanings is what that means. Wordless groanings. Have you ever hurt so bad that all you could do is go, oh? That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Wordless groanings. In those moments when we cannot pray, he says, the Holy Spirit prays for us. Think about that for a minute. It also means that when we lift up our feeble prayers to the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes them and he translates them into the language of heaven. Think about that. That's pretty powerful. See, and again, we don't know how it happens. Nobody knows exactly how it happens because it's a ministry that takes place between the Spirit and the Father. And it's the way God has ordained it and ordered it. And I don't know how it happens, but I imagine it goes something like this. You remember I talked about wanting a new job? So we say, Lord, I really want this new job. I can't stand my old boss. He's a drag. He's mean, rude. I'm praying for a new job. But the Holy Spirit takes that and he interprets it according to the will of God, and here's what he prays. Father, he thinks he wants a new job because he's weary of the pressure and of his new job. But I know it's his will to learn to depend entirely on you. So, Father, please don't give him the new job right now, but rather give him supernatural strength so that he can endure and send him a good Christian friend that can bring encouragement to him. See, that's how that works. I want a new job. I can't stand my boss. The Spirit's praying, Lord, our Father, don't do that. He needs to learn to rely on you. So let him learn patience and grace. And listen, and because the Holy Spirit always prays according to the will of God, that's the prayer that's going to be answered, right? I love what Matthew Henry said about this. Matthew Henry says that the Holy Spirit excites praying graces. I like the way he described that. Excites praying graces. He makes us want to pray. You know, again, that's what I'm saying. Start where you are, but as you develop it, you find. How many know that as you start doing things and you start enjoying things, it's like if you ever worked out. Maybe you like to ride. Maybe you like to walk. Maybe you like to run, whatever. Or you do a hobby. As you get into it, how many of you know it's hard to not do it anymore? I mean, it's very difficult. If you're used to playing golf every week, it's hard not to play golf every week. If you're used to exercising every day, it's hard not to. In fact, you understand what I'm talking about. It makes you feel bad that you didn't do it that day. Well, guess what? If you practice the same thing with spiritual disciplines, it's the same thing. If I start with what I have and I'm starting to pray and read my Bible and invest in that, then pretty soon I'm going to be craving that. I'm going to be looking for my time with the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit, that's how he excites those praying graces, because as we do it, he makes us want to pray and he teaches us to pray and he helps us to pray. And when we can't pray at all, he prays for us to the Father. I mean, what an incredible encouragement that is. Sometimes we're so confused and we're worried and we're rushed and hurried and distracted and weary and we don't know what to pray. Listen, oftentimes the best prayers are unheard and unspoken prayers. Because that's when we just lay it on the line and the Spirit prays through us according to God's will. Why? Because we have an intercessor. Remember I told you when we were doing the Apostles' Creed on Sunday mornings, when we got to Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, remember his present position is he is seated at the right hand of the Father. So he's interceding and he's advocating from heaven while the Holy Spirit is here interceding for us from within us. That's a pretty powerful thing to think about. I mean, how in the world can we go, how can we fail? You know, I used to say this all the time. I mean, you think about God, we've got God for us, okay? And we've got Jesus with us, and we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside. How in the world can we go under with all of that, the forces of heaven aligned with us? Again, the same thing when we pray, when we don't know what to pray and how to pray, we've got heaven on our side. Jesus is advocating from heaven and interceding from heaven, and the Holy Spirit is within us praying to the Father, His perfect will be done in our life. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Again, sometimes our prayers arise from a broken heart to God who hears the groanings that cannot be put to words. Listen, I know many, many parents, probably many here tonight and those online, probably have shed a many tear for your children. You've prayed for them. You've labored in prayer. You've cried over them. Listen, those are not in vain. They're absolutely not in vain. God hears those unspoken prayers, that brokenhearted prayer. He hears those groanings that cannot be put into words. The third thing is this, our confidence. Okay, so in my weakness, I know that the Holy Spirit's praying for me. The Holy Spirit helps me. But let's look at my confidence. Okay, so here's what Paul says in verse 27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. That's a powerful statement. According to God's will. How do we know that God hears those wordless groanings that come deep within? Well, verse 27 right here tells us that God constantly searches our hearts. Again, we go to the Lord and we say, I need this. And the Spirit says, no, he thinks he needs that, but this is what he really needs. He's searching the hearts. He's looking. How many's ever heard of somebody treating the symptom but not the problem? See, oftentimes we pray symptomatic prayers. What I mean is we have a symptom of something that's wrong and we pray for a solution to the symptom. What the Holy Spirit does is pray for a solution to the problem. And that's where change and transformation takes place. Does that make sense? We pray for the symptoms of what's going on because, listen, if you got a headache, what do? You take a couple aspirin because you don't want the headache anymore. You know, if you have blood pressure problems, you take high blood pressure medicine because you want to mitigate that high blood pressure. Oftentimes, we treat the symptoms, but we forget about the problem. And our prayers are the same. We pray for symptoms because we want to leave whatever stress and whatever pressure. If I'm in the middle of a pressure cooker or if I'm in the middle of a chaotic situation, I want to get out of it. I don't know anybody that enjoys being in a pressured situation. So we pray for an immediate release of that pressure. But that's just the symptom. And we don't pray for the problem. But the Holy Spirit prays for the problem and not the symptom. He says, I know he wants to be free of this, but he can't see the big picture, so I'm praying, Father, that you would do this so that he can see. You see how that works? I mean, isn't that amazing how the Spirit inside of us prays? And listen, our prayers are always heard prayers, but the Holy Spirit interprets those to the language of heaven and prays according to the will of the Father. That's powerful right there. Listen, because the Father knows what the Spirit is thinking, there's a perfect intimacy and perfect harmony that exists within them. That's why we praise. It's always according to the will of God, the will of the Father. When the Spirit intercedes for us, he always, again, intercedes according to the will of God. So when we pray, what do? We pray what's on our hearts, right? We lay it out. Lord, this is what's going on. And this is what is, and so we just kind of lay it out. Here's this. This is what I need. This is what's going on. But what the Spirit does, the Spirit says to the Father, Father, what he really means is this. Or if he knew better, Father, this is what he would be asking for. It's a totally different way of thinking about prayer. But that's what the Holy Spirit's job is as our intercessor. He's taking our prayers and he's knowing the big picture because he has the mind of the Father. They're synced up. They're in sync together. And so he's praying according to the will of the Father. He says, hey, I know he's praying for that, but this is what he really needs. I know what he wants, but this is what he really needs. How many know that's tough? Because sometimes we are absolutely convinced that we know this is what we ought to have. When the Spirit says, no, child, and that's where trust comes in. How many know that's a tough place to be? Because we get our emotions, I said it Sunday, we get our emotions so attached to things, and we convince ourselves that this is exactly the way it should be, this is God's will. Well, the Spirit does a very good job of saying, you know, he really thinks like that, Father, but that's not true. So don't answer that. Answer this. See, God already knows our deepest desires, right? Sometimes we talking about have. How many's ever heard the unspoken request? You know, we talk about having an unspoken request. I said that earlier. Unspoken prayer requests are things that are close to our hearts. Those are things that we dare not share or mention in public because they're deep and they're precious and private. You know, and sometimes people have such a burden, unspoken burden, that they can't even do it without crying. You know, they just shed tears. But verse 27 reminds us that there are no unspoken requests with God. Because while I may not be able to articulate them, the Spirit prays through me. Because he knows through groans and wordless groanings. He knows, and he's praying in heavenly language so that God knows what's going on. Listen, our suffering, our uncertainty, our struggle with prayer, our doubt, confusion, and worry, all of that stuff. You know what it does? It strips away that self-sufficiency. How many believe that we live in a very self-centered world? That's kind of a duh thing right there. Well, all of a sudden, when I start admitting my weaknesses, when I start admitting that I'm not capable, my suffering, my uncertainty, things that happen outside of my control, all of a sudden I come to stark reality that I'm not as self-sufficient as I thought I am. You know what did the Bible say? Without me, you can do nothing. And you know what? He meant it. He meant it. I used to tell people all the time, you know, it's kind of funny because if you ever saw an atheist magazine, it has the date up there, which is a Christian date. I always thought that was kind of funny, you know, because it has the date on there based on the Christian calendar, you know. And they want to boast about what they can do without God. And I'm thinking, you know what? Without God, you'd turn blue and die in just a few seconds. Because he helps us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. So what happens is all of these things, the struggles and the suffering and the uncertainty, all of that reveals that we really are weak people. We're not near self-sufficient as what we think we are. And so it really forces us to confront our own inabilities, and we're forced to say things like, well, God, I recognize I'm not quite as strong as what I thought I was. I need some help. And so what happens? The Holy Spirit comes alongside, and he helps us. He comes alongside, and he helps us in our need. You remember who the Spirit is, right? You know, we always talk about the Holy Spirit, and I've always said this for years and years and years. The Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a he. He's not just any he. He's the third member of the Trinity, right? So think of it like this. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. So it's the third member of the Trinity, okay, God the Spirit, who prays to God the Father, the first member of the Trinity, in the name of the Son, the second member of the Trinity. So you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's God praying to God in God's name on behalf of God's children. Think about that. It is God praying to God in God's name on behalf of God's children. That's what's happening. The Spirit intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot be uttered. I mean, that's an amazing thing to think about. Again, how can we lose? How can we lose if we've got God praying to God in God's name for God's children? How can we lose? How can we go under? Again, in our weakness, we feel desperate about things that truly matter to us. And we don't know what to say. And all we do is cry out, oh, God. How many's ever just cried out, oh, God, or help me, Lord? And in a serious tone, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. You know, some people say that in a very trivial manner. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in a total desperation. You know, I've shared with you many times the story of when Sheila and I moved over here, and I spent 10 months not working and just really had a very difficult time. How I went back to the church we attended in Grand Prairie, and that night from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning, I lay prostrate on the altar, and all I could do was cry. That's what I'm talking about. I could not speak a word. You know, and I did. I did think that an angel was going to visit me that night. I did do that. Never did. But I laid on that altar, and I cried till I couldn't cry anymore. What was I doing? I was crying out, oh, God. That's all I could do. And when I left there 4 hours later, I had an assurance that I didn't have when I walked in. Much like Job struggled through his life because he knew that God knew where he was and what was going on, and he didn't understand until he got to that point where he just kept calling out, and God finally said, "Hey, let's talk." And then he begins to reveal his character and his nature. Again, you heard me say, God never answered Job's question, never did. But what he did was he revealed himself to him. He showed him his character and his nature. And when Job saw that, in the end, he was like, you know what? It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. See, there are times that we just absolutely throw ourselves on his mercy and his grace. And we can't speak. We can't articulate anything. We just cry and we lay it out. And you know what? He receives that. He receives that. See, in our, the message that comes from heaven in our times of crying is simply, don't worry. I wish that we could play that over and over in our mind when we're going through things. Heaven is sending a message, don't worry. I've got your back. I've got you covered. You know, when I was in the military, you know, there were people that I had to trust to have, we call it having my six. You know, there were people that I was responsible for, and there were people responsible for me. And I had to have their six, and they had to have mine, or somebody was going to get hurt. Heaven says, I got you six. You're covered. So don't worry about it. And see, it's enough to know that someone's praying for us. Even when we can't pray, there's someone praying for us. And I'm going to wrap this up here in just a few minutes, but I want you to understand that no matter what you're dealing with tonight, no matter how difficult it is, and sometimes we're, you know, it's hard for us to ask somebody to pray for us. Sometimes we ask and the prayer doesn't happen. Listen, there is one who always prays for us. Again, Jesus advocates for us and he intercedes from heaven, and then the Holy Spirit intercedes from within. And when I can't speak and when I can't talk and when I don't know what to pray for, through my groanings and my cries, he's talking to the Father on my behalf. Listen, again, Paul goes a step further in verse 34 of that same chapter, and he says, when you come to that moment where you're in complete exhaustion and you can no longer frame the words, again, you don't have to worry about it because the Holy Spirit takes charge. Jesus is praying, the Holy Spirit's praying, God the Father's receiving. Listen, he speaks for us. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. I said that's twice, right? When we lean against the wall of desperation, crying out to God, when we say things like, God, I just feel like I'm speaking to somebody. Maybe it's online this morning, this evening, that's going through something. When you say to God, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray about this. The Holy Spirit comes along and says, don't worry about it. I got this. I got this. I know what to pray for, and I know how to pray. And then he does. What a powerful thing that is. Martin Luther, 450 years ago, or a little better than that, I guess, here's what he said. He wrote this 450-plus years ago. He said, you know, it's a good thing if occasionally we receive the opposite of what we pray for, because that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is at work in our life. Think about that. We might be praying, Lord, do this and do that and do this and do that, while the Holy Spirit's saying, Lord, what he means is this. Don't do that and don't do that, but really do this, because that's what he really needs. You know, that's kind of what he's talking about there. Lord, if he could only see the bigger picture, he'd really be praying for this, 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 and this. See, again, that's where we trust in the Lord. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Tell us, trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct our path, our steps. That's a promise. So when I'm in a pickle, when I don't know what to do, where to turn, when I can't pray, when I don't have the wherewithal to ask, don't know what to ask, trust God. Trust the Spirit's praying. As we pray from our weak and limited perspective, you know what the Holy Spirit does? He takes out, this is a picture, he takes out some whiteout. How many know what whiteout is? Okay, so he takes out this bottle of whiteout, and he corrects our prayers, so to speak, so that now they align with God's will. Because the Bible says when we ask amiss, remember what he said? Don't think that you're going to receive anything from the Lord, because when you ask amiss, so that we can spend or use whatever we ask for on our own self-centeredness. So what he does is when we pray things outside of the will of God, he takes that white out, corrects it so it lines up with the will of God. So God is even working, even in our prayers that are off the mark. That's pretty good, because how many times do we get caught up in our list of things we want? I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And the Spirit's saying, nope, no, we don't, no, we don't, no, we don't. He needs this, this, and this. You know, I really feel like sometimes I really wear him out with that whiteout. Does it mean our prayers are in vain? Absolutely not. That's not what this lesson's all about at all. It's not. Does it mean that we shouldn't pray? No, that's not what this means. It simply reveals that our inherent human weakness sometimes limits us on our ability to pray according to the will of God. So we pray and sometimes pray amiss, but the Holy Spirit, because he's interceding, he is praying the will of God for us. So let me give you these two things. So what should we do with this? What is this? How do these verses help us? What does it do for our faith? Well, number one, it should encourage us to pray with confidence. We should pray with confidence. God is not judging our words. He's listening to our heart. Let me say that again. He's not judging our words. He's listening to our heart. We pray to a God who can discern the prayer within the prayer. In other words, I may pray about this, but what I really need, again, I may be praying for the symptom, but God's saying, no, we really need to pray for the problem. The prayer within the prayer. He hears the words we say, but he also understands the heart cry and the hidden desires underneath that. Knows what we need. He can give us the substance of what we ask for while refusing the form that they take. In other words, we may be asking for one thing and maybe that's right, but maybe the form takes a little bit different and still accomplishes the same thing. How many's ever heard somebody talk about how God answers our prayer, but oftentimes it's not exactly the way that we thought it would be? I remember years ago when Sheila and I, we had just gotten married, and I was I deployed a lot when I was in service, and I was also the children's pastor. That's how I met Sheila. She was a single Sunday school teacher for the kids, and I was a children's pastor. And I thought, man, I need her to help me with kids' church. And so anyway, I had set up this crusade for our kids. We had about 120 kids in our children's ministry there back then. And so I'd scheduled this kids' crusade to come into our church, their first assembly in Leesville, Louisiana. And 2 weeks before the crusade, I get orders that they were deploying me. And I'm thinking, okay, so I go to my pastor and I said, look, you know, it's Uncle Sam. I get these letters all the time. Dear nephew, I need you here. You know, I think they were sending me to Panama I don't remember where we were going, but anyway, they were sending me somewhere. And so I told him, and he said, Mike, you know all this. I don't know anything about this. I mean, I know, you know, obviously the date. And he said, but I don't know who these people are. I don't know what you want to do and how do you want to accomplish it. And I said, man, Pastor, I'm sorry. There's just no way I can get out of it. He said, well, man, we just need to pray about it. And so I did. And here's what my prayer was. Lord, whatever you got to do to get me out of this, I need you to do it so I can be here for this kids' crusade. The Wednesday before the kids' crusade was to start, so that's a week later. On a Wednesday night, I go to church. We have Royal Rangers missionettes. I go home. By midnight, Sheila's taking me to the ER because I'm doubled over in pain, excruciating pain. So I go into the ER, and the doctor, they examine me and give me a bottle of Melanta and send me home. Well, Thursday morning comes around. I'm not any better. So I go to the clinic. Same thing. They send me another bottle of Melanta. I said, I hadn't even finished the first bottle you gave me. So I go back home, and it's still not any better. You know, I'm toughing it out the best I can. By 7 o'clock that night, I am literally cold sweat, dripping. I'm in bad shape. I get into the ER yet again, and I just literally pass out on the counter, and they're thinking, well, something's wrong with this guy. I'm like, you think? So they end up examining me, and they're taking me now into emergency emergency surgery for an appendectomy. My appendix was about to burst, so they take me back in the surgery. And all I remember, it's kind of funny, it's a funny situation because the only thing I remember, how many know anesthesia does some really funny things to you? So the only thing I remember is this, I remember a full-bird colonel stood about this tall, ball-headed, said, "Why didn't you come in here before now?" He said, "Do you know you could have died?" I said, "I did." He said, "What do you mean you did?" And I said, "I've been here three times." He said, "What'd they tell you?" And I told him. He said, "Who told you that?" I said, "That guy right over there." It was a doctor. I remember coming to, and he's standing on a stool. I kid you not, unless I was imagining. But he's standing on a stool chewing this guy out for misdiagnosing me. But anyway, long story short, they do the surgery. Okay, so this would have been early Friday morning. By Monday, when the Kids Crusade started, I left the hospital on Saturday, had no pain whatsoever. I'm doing the Kids Crusade, had no pain, no discomfort, had nothing. My landlord lived next door to us. She would call Sheila at work and say, "Sister Sheila, Brother Mike's out raking the yard. Should he be doing that after having surgery on Friday?" I had no pain, no discomfort whatsoever. So my moral is, be very specific and careful what you pray for, because I said, "Lord, whatever it takes, get me out of it." You know? Anyway, that's just kind of a silly story. I'm closing, I promise. Listen to this. Henry Viscardi prayed this, and this is kind of the point as I close. Here's what he prayed. "I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have praise of others. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I may enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I'd hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed." Isn't that good? And then the last thing is this. It probably should teach us that salvation rests alone on God. That's it. And if I have that relationship, then I am assured that no matter where I am, what I'm dealing with, how difficult life is, I have somebody who's interceding for me right this moment in heaven and within. Would you stand with me? Listen, Romans chapter 5, 8, verse 26 and 28, I can't talk tonight, 26 and 27, just simply tells us that, you know what, when we're so discouraged and that pain is so deep, when that disappointment is so profound, or that sense of loss is so overwhelming, and we don't know what to say, we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays through those wordless groans that cannot be articulated, but there's a heavenly language, and the Father knows what's going on. And I want to close this way. If you're online tonight, I really feel like this is a message hitting home to somebody, that you're absolutely going through some things right now that you know what I'm talking about. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what to ask for. You know, you want to do God's will. You want to be honorable in that situation there, but you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Well, I want you to be assured tonight that the Holy Spirit will pray. He will intercede according to God's will. Again, it doesn't always go the way that we think it should. The answer is not always what we want it to be, but it will always be according to God's will that the Spirit prays for us. And so I just want to ask tonight, how many here tonight, if you'll just bow with me just for a moment as we close, how many here tonight would say, "You know what, Pastor, I'm going through some stuff right now, and this is such an encouragement. I know, I just want to live by that the reality that the Spirit is praying for me right now." That's you. Just slip your hand right by down. Anybody online, if you'll just comment, we want to pray with you as well. Listen, be encouraged, church. Be encouraged. You're not alone. You're not left out in the dark. The Holy Spirit lives within you, and He's interceding on your behalf with whatever you're dealing with right now. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, that the Spirit prays according to your will. Lord, those things that we don't know, the way that we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to pray for, Lord, I thank you that He takes that inability of us to pray, and then He turns it into words of heaven. Those groans and those cries of desperation, He turns it into words of heaven. And I pray that we walk out, Lord. There are many hands that went up tonight and said, you know what, I'm dealing with some things right now. I just want to be reassured. I want to walk out of here tonight knowing that I'm not alone, that you are praying for me, and that my words are not, they're not in vain, that they're being, that you're interpreting to them, and you're praying according to the will of the Father. So I pray that we would be encouraged by that. And I pray that, Father, whatever that situation is that we're involved in, whatever that crisis is, Lord, that you know so well, I pray, Father, that we yield to you. Lord, the temptation is to take the reins and try to do it ourselves, but help us to yield to you and help us to submit ourselves to you because you're praying according to your will, Lord, and we just want you to do what needs to be done in our lives. And I just pray that we, again, when we wake up in the morning, know that we can walk with that confidence that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you're always with us. And now I ask you to go with us and give us a wonderful night, a restful night. Should you tarry, bring us on Sunday. Lord, even now, begin to ordain what's going to take place. I love and bless each one now in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Thank you for joining us online. I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you, and I love you. Love you guys.
My mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, body and drenched in tears.